Today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 18 shows us how Jesus' disciples understood his mission and message at that particular point in Jesus' ministry. If you recall, Jesus tells them that he is about to fulfill the promises of Holy Scripture by going to Jerusalem, where he will be killed and then brought back to life on the third day. And how do Jesus' disciples respond to this information? Luke writes, "The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about." Simply put, Jesus' disciples did not understand why he had to die. In fact, they were so shocked when they heard Jesus say that he was going to die that they didn't even hear what he said about the resurrection. However, the disciples were not the only ones who did not fully comprehend the purpose of Jesus' death. You see, throughout history, various people have missed the whole point of why God's Son had to die. In fact, the true meaning of Jesus' death is what the Reformation was really all about. Did you know that in the year 2017, it's not that far away, in 2017, Lutheran churches around the world will be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. You might remember that on October 31st, back in 1517, a priest by the name of Martin Luther posted his 95 theses in Wittenberg. And these 95 theses challenged various false teachings that had become common in the church of that day. And today, this Sunday, many Lutheran churches around the world are celebrating Reformation Sunday. On this Sunday, we remember how God used Martin Luther and other faithful teachers to reform the church. And they did that by bringing back the pure teaching of God's Word. Of course, that leads to a question. What is that pure teaching of God's Word? And how had the Church of Luther's day strayed from that pure teaching? Well, simply put, the pure teaching of God's Word, the central message of the Bible, is that God longs to be merciful to His enemies. Simply put, God longs to rescue us sinners from the damnation we deserve because of our rebellion against Him. And God accomplishes our salvation through the work of His Son on our behalf. In a nutshell, that's the pure teaching of God's Word. In other words, God saves us as an act of pure grace, even though we deserve only His wrath. God saved us from His wrath by pouring out His wrath on His own Son, who willingly suffered and died on the cross in our place of damnation. My friends, this is the pure teaching of Holy Scripture. And all other teachings of Holy Scripture are properly understood only in light of this truth about who Jesus is and what He did for us on the cross. However, throughout history, the devil has tempted people to reject the pure teaching of salvation by grace alone, based on Christ's sacrifice for sinners. And they have rejected this truth in one of two ways. The first way that some reject the pure teaching of God's Word is that they deny what God's Word says about judgment. And so they either see no need for God's grace, or they assume that God will be merciful to everybody because God really isn't allowed to judge sinners. Now, this false teaching, denying the judgment of sin, is addressed in our second reading from the book of Jude. Listen to it again. "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Here we see that if we affirm what God condemns and then deny that God must punish sin, well, then we end up turning God's grace into a license for sin and thereby mock the sacrifice that God's Son offered on the cross. In other words, if there is no judgment against sin, then why did God send His Son to the cross? Denying God's judgment against sin means that Christ died for nothing. However, affirming sin and denying that God has a right to punish sin, that's not the only way that we mock the suffering and death of Jesus. You see, the second way that some people have rejected the pure teaching of God's Word is that they wrongly think that we sinners must do something to be worthy of God's mercy. Now, the people who promote this second error, they do agree that God will punish sin. They do agree that God judges evil. But they have taught that we can save ourselves from God's wrath by doing various good works and thereby making ourselves worthy of His mercy. In our reading from Galatians, the Apostle Paul responds to the false teaching that we must make ourselves worthy of God's mercy by obeying His laws. And listen to how Paul responds to that error. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Did you hear what Paul said? If we can save ourselves from God's wrath by doing good works and thereby earn His mercy, then why did God's Son have to suffer and die on the cross? If we can earn God's mercy by performing good works, then God's Son died for nothing. Now, Martin Luther was dealing with a similar error in the church of his day. The church of Luther's day correctly taught that sin and evil deserve God's judgment. But instead of pointing fearful sinners to Jesus' death for us as the only source of salvation from God's wrath, they instead told people that they had to perform a multitude of good works before they could be worthy of receiving the salvation that Jesus had accomplished for us. In fact, the Church of Luther's day taught that most people could not do enough good works before death to be worthy of God's mercy. So the church taught that most people would have to suffer for their sins after death in a place called purgatory. And this suffering supposedly could go on for millions of years. And only then would people eventually be made worthy of entering heaven. However, as Luther carefully studied Holy Scripture, especially the book of Romans, he began to realize how the church of his day was guilty of the same false teaching that the Apostle Paul was refuting, not only in the book of Romans, but also in the book of Galatians. Luther realized that if we sinners had to make ourselves worthy of God's mercy by doing good works, then Jesus died for nothing. And if we had to somehow make up for our sins by suffering for millions of years in purgatory, then Christ suffered for nothing. My friends, the truth is that Christ didn't die for nothing. God's Son instead died for you. Even though you and I deserve nothing from God but His wrath, the truth is that you mean everything to God. In fact, God loves you so much that He was willing to damn His own Son in your place so that you could be forgiven and live a new life now and forever as His dearly loved child. Listen to these words of God from 1 John chapter 4. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. My friends, if God could have His way, all sinners would be saved. But the sad fact is that many sinners are not saved. Why not? Well, it's not because God doesn't love them, and it's not because God's Son didn't die for them. The reason many are not saved is that either one, they refuse to believe what God says about their sin and the damnation they deserve, and so they see no need for His mercy. Or two, they refuse to believe that they are saved by grace alone because of Christ's work for them, and instead, they trust in their own good works to rescue themselves from damnation. Allow me to give you an analogy that describes both types of unbelief. Imagine that two people are drowning in the ocean. One person refuses the help of a lifeguard because she thinks she's perfectly safe and that she's in no danger of drowning. Even though she is drowning, she denies it. She thinks she's safe and she has no need for the lifeguard. The other person is drowning, but he sees no need for the lifeguard because he thinks he can save himself from drowning. Oh, he firmly believes he's drowning all right, but again, he thinks he can save himself and has no need for the lifeguard. In either case, both people will drown because they are rejecting their only hope, the lifeguard. My friends, we have all sinned against God, and we deserve to drown in damnation for all eternity because of our rebellion against our Creator. And there's nothing, nothing we can do to save ourselves from drowning in this damnation we deserve. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son, our lifeguard, to save us. And how did Jesus save us? Jesus saved us by drowning in the depths of our damnation so that we might be forgiven and live forever as God's dearly loved children. My friends, the only thing that keeps us from being saved is our own refusal to believe what God says about our sin or our refusal to trust in Jesus as our only hope of salvation. Therefore, my friends, God does all He can to convince us, first of all, that we do deserve His wrath. And then secondly, He convinces us that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves from His wrath. Once God has humbled us in this way, He then points us to Jesus, His Son, through whom we have complete forgiveness and new life with God. My friends, Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for you. And God wants nothing more than for you to turn from your sin and trust in His Son alone as your Savior. Because of Jesus' death in your place of damnations, you need to know that your sins are completely forgiven and you are now free. You're free to live your life for God. As Paul said in our reading from Galatians, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, what do those words of Paul mean for our daily lives as Christians? You know, it's interesting, when Martin Luther was preaching the pure word of the gospel, he was accused of suggesting that people didn't have to do good works. Luther's opponents were saying, Luther, if you tell people they're saved by grace alone because of what Jesus did, they won't want to do any good works. How did Luther respond to that? He quoted, for one thing, these words of Paul. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When a person is humbled by God's law and they see how evil their sin is, and then when that same person is lifted up by the pure teaching of the gospel, knowing that they are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus, that gospel transforms their heart and mind. They now want to do good works, not in order to earn God's love, because He already loves us by grace. Not in order to earn forgiveness, because we can't. That's a free gift, based on Christ's work. No, the reason we want to live a new life is that Christ now lives in us. And we want to live according to God's loving plan for our lives, because we know that His will for our life is best. Because God has first loved us, we now love Him. And now our lives are lives of worship to our Creator who has saved us. As people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who trust in Jesus, we agree with God that sin is evil, and so we want to turn from it. Because we're forgiven and loved by God, and because we have the Holy Spirit and we now trust in Jesus as our Savior, we want to do the good things that God wants us to do, because we know that His loving plan is what's best for us. So we believers, we do not do good works to save ourselves from God's wrath. Instead, because we're already forgiven, because we're already saved by Jesus, we strive to do good works as a way of worshiping God and loving and serving our neighbor. My friends, this is the good news. This is the pure teaching that Martin Luther was proclaiming in his day. The Reformation also must continue in our world today. If we look around the world today, we find people in both of those errors that I talked about earlier. There are many people in our world who simply deny what God's Word says about their sin. They're drowning in damnation, but they simply deny it. They go on throughout life thinking that everything's just fine, and they simply don't need to turn from their sin and trust in Jesus. There are others who do agree with what God says about sin and evil, but foolishly they think that God will give them a break because of their good works and their efforts to try to be good people. They too are rejecting the salvation that God has given for them. And so we must continue the Reformation today. We must continue to proclaim that pure teaching of God's Word, that we have all rebelled against God, that we deserve hell because of it, and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves from it, but God's Son did it all for us. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are forgiven, reconciled to God, and have new life in Jesus. My friends, the good news we offer the world today is that God's Son didn't die for nothing. Instead, God's Son died for this world of sinners so that we might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. I'd like to close by reading the final stanza of our sermon hymn, which sums it up all beautifully. My guilt, O Father, you have laid on Christ, your Son, my Savior. Lord Jesus, you my debt have paid and gained for me God's favor. O Holy Spirit, fount of grace, the good in me to you I trace. In faith and hope, preserve me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.